There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
All right, my boys, my dirty boys.
Man, I miss Sliders.
The show?
No.
I missed that show, too. That was great.
No.
Henry and I had a bunch of great Sliders in Detroit, and we missed those Sliders.
What I don't understand is why are there not more Slider-based restaurants? We talked about this the whole time while we were eating those Sliders. I feel like Sliders are being left behind. I feel like that should be a new, like, you know, because we had, obviously, fancy hot dogs. Then we had donuts. Yeah. And there was Korean tacos.
Sliders had their moment.
When?
Oh, and I would say like 2009 to 2015.
When was the great Slider revolution?
Well, we didn't have any money.
Yeah, we were poor.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sliders are for the people.
Yeah, I know. When I worked at a restaurant, I had a bunch of different sliders I would sell at the poorhouse.
That's different. You, though, literally, you're the only man I know who was a chef that was at the very forefront of slider technology.
Yeah.
And you were doing sliders all the time. I remember when you brought sliders
all
to the poorhouse.
All kinds of different sliders.
But you're the only place where I saw a lot of sliders.
I had a curry chicken slider that was fucking awesome. I had apple slices on that bitch.
But we went to Green Dot Stables in Detroit, and they had the fucking fish fry slider. It was real good. They did bologna fried bologna slider.
The fried bologna
slider
was really good.
That's what we need back.
Yeah.
It's like, why aren't the sliders everywhere?
Are you saying it's a conspiracy?
I think it's a government conspiracy.
It's a government conspiracy.
Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Parks. I'm here with the skeptical Henry Zebrowski, skeptical as to why these sliders aren't all over the place at all times.
Who benefits?
Cui bono.
I tell you who benefits. The Mexican restaurants.
They got the tacos,
and they know tacos and sliders are ass to ass, and they know that they are fighting for oxygen together,
and they just want
to shut it down. They want to shut the slider economy down, because they know it's outside of the Fort Knox system.
I think tiny tacos should be on the rise.
Hate tiny tacos.
Whoa.
Love big tacos.
So hold on. You like tiny burgers.
Yes.
But you don't like tiny tacos.
Correct.
This is a you problem.
No, it's not. There are many like me. I am not the only one like me. That's the one thing I have learned.
Do you wish that spaghetti was just one big piece?
Yes. I would. As if you would not eat an entire loaf of just pasta dough. I would. You wouldn't.
It's called a lasagna, ladies and gentlemen. And with me, of course, with both of us, is Ed Larson. Ed, do you think the slider conspiracy is related to the Federal Reserve?
No, I think if it's related to anybody, it's Big Pharma.
Okay. All right, Big Pharma. All right, that's good. I would think Big Pharma would be down with the sliders because that would increase diabetes and heart disease and such.
Yes.
Well, I know that. Oh my God, there's a place called Rock House Sliders.
Yeah, you just have to look harder, Henry.
We live in Los Angeles.
I think you're just bad at Googling.
Yeah, dude. We live in one of the biggest cities in America. You're going to be able to find sliders.
No, this is Australian! This is fucking Australian!
Sliders?
Yeah! Sliders! Oh, man! Sliders!
No!
What the fucking shit? This is fucking, they're ahead of us!
We're moving!
We're going, I'm bombing Australia!
No, bomb them! There's only people doing what you want!
No! Because they did it first and I won't! No one can have them, I can't!
Today, we're here talking about conspiracies. Of course, on our update show, we started a little segment, or actually it was more of a theme, of Ed Larson Ask Questions.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's basically, I mean, I know a lot of this stuff where I have like my own thought on it, especially today, because we're going to center on government conspiracy. There are other episodes just like this coming out down the road about serial killers and stuff like that, which we have already recorded. But this one is about government conspiracies, the next one I want to do is on aliens.
Sure,
of course.
Can be looped into government conspiracy, but what?
I would like to get art done where it says the education of Miss Ed Lawrence. Like, in the very
much.
Like, Ed Lawrence. If I could do a thing where it's a him in that thing, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yes,
that'd
be cute. I think that is adorable. Yeah. Yes. So today we wanted to talk about government conspiracies, and I wanted to start with what I think is like the biggest, meatiest one, and of course, that's JFK.
Yeah.
The assassination, not his, his accidentally winning the presidency.
He didn't accidentally win. It just is his older brother was supposed to be the president. He was the shining light. Yes. He was the one that everybody wanted to do something. But then he fucking died like a pussy.
Oh, I didn't actually know about this. Kennedy's brother died?
Oh, John Kennedy's older brother was like the one the family thought was going to go all the way. Kind of like Jeb.
Uh-huh.
Like they thought that Jeb was going to be the one to take it. And then when he died, it's like JFK essentially... Because his family was extremely competitive. Like, they would, the father would, like, make them all, like, do debates at the dining room table and do all this shit. He'd raise one in favor and knock one down. And then JFK doubled down when he had realized, like, when he went to war, he became, like, twice the hero his brother was to get the same amount of love that his father gave his brother naturally.
Yeah. Oh. And, of course, he gained the injuries that possibly caused him to snap back. And not be able to duck when he was shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he was all metal.
Yeah,
also, Rockhouse Sliders is in Kuwait.
Oh, is it?
This is a restaurant in Kuwait. Somehow, I typed in Sliders restaurant. This is a conspiracy. I typed in Sliders restaurant, Los Angeles. First thing that pops up is this Kuwaiti slider based restaurant.
Why did you think it was Australia?
Because it's Deliveroo.
Deliveroo is like
that's an app. I know it's an Australian app, but it's more international.
It's also British, European.
But I thought British has something like Masher Dasher where
Deliveroo.
Yeah, and something like Ass Grass and Fuck Shit.
Yeah, Ass Grass Fuck Shit. Yeah, that's the British delivery app.
Yeah, yep. They're pillars of the English language. All right, so JFK. As a group here, I think the three of us, we all enjoy and almost lean towards the theory that Kennedy was accidentally shot by a hungover Secret Service agent.
Definitely.
That's my favorite theory. It's not what I'll say happened, but it's my favorite one.
Well, yeah. I'll amend that, is that he wasn't hungover. It's that everyone else in the Secret Service, all of the more experienced Secret Service agents, they were all hungover. The guy who was actually holding the gun was brand new and extremely inexperienced and should not have been holding the gun. He should not have been holding the AR-15 that day. That's the whole thing, is that they were hungover. He was not. Yeah. He was just new and scared.
And there's some pictures with him holding the AR-15, and then there's other pictures without him holding the AR-15.
Yes, where they said they might have old school airbrushed them out, the old way they used to do Photoshops, which is essentially they would take the photo, they would refuck with the actual negative. They'd actually scratch it out on the negative and then republish it.
Yeah, and they also, like, he could have just shot it and then put it down, and they're two separate photographs.
Yep. It very much could have been.
Yeah.
But to catch everybody up, if you haven't listened to our JFK series, it is personally what I think happened is that JFK was killed in the world's most infamous workplace accident.
Yeah.
Is that there were, when they got to Dallas the night before, all of the Secret Service agents, the more experienced Secret Service agents, went out to a strip club and stayed there until like 5 a.m., something like that.
Yeah.
Stayed out very, very late. And so the next day, when it was time for the motorcade, they gave the most inexperienced agent a top spot, prime spot, right up next to JFK. And when they came around Dealey Plaza and Lee Harvey Oswald took the first shot, the Secret Service agent behind him. I know I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here.
Yes.
Yeah. But basically the Secret Service agent behind him got scared. He fucked up, pulled the trigger and shot JFK in the back of the head. And it was actually the Secret Service agent who accidentally killed JFK. JFK would have survived the assassination with just a wound had it not been for the Secret Service agent. And
blew off the top of his fucking head.
Yeah, and that's why...
Two different bullets.
Yeah, and that's why there was so much... that's why there was so much intrigue around his autopsy, why we didn't really ever get like a full report on that.
Well, the conspiracy theory then begins... at the mortuary. Like, it begins after they're doing the medical examination.
The cover-up begins immediately.
Yes, because they lost the brain.
Well, quote-unquote, lost the brain, unless they did it on purpose. So
of course.
You don't lose
the president's brain.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. We don't know where Einstein's brain is.
I saw a slice of it at the Mütter Museum.
No, dude, that's just, you know what that turned out to be? It's ham. Sorry, buddy. That's straight up Virginia ham.
It's the shitty ham, too. It's the processed ham.
It's the gross shit. But so one big kind of like major motif we have on last podcast on the left, which has kind of both made people happy with us and angry with us, which is awesome, which is we believe that most conspiracy theories hinge on human activities in very small juncture points in history, right? Like, I view things as happening way more subtly, not as much of a grand plan. More things happen accidentally, either because of human error or just human agendas and to begin with.
Well, yes. One of the things that we like to say again and again is never confuse incompetence for malice. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, is one of the central questions or one of the central things to keep in mind when it comes to the JFK assassination. Yeah.
Because a lot of people had motive to kill JFK. When we did the series, you'd cover how, like, there was definitely a reason why you'd think that CIA might want to kill JFK.
Sure.
They had total motive to do it.
Yeah.
Why there were the Cubans and the mafia and all these people that could all come together and we joked about how JFK was the most killed man ever.
Yeah.
That there was
yeah.
so many people there to kill him. But the actual mystery starts.
The city of Dallas didn't want him. They put out a full page article like, don't come here, go fuck yourself.
They hated him.
The wanted poster that was circulated.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And Lee Harvey Oswald, though, did in his own personal diaries, wrote several entries pro JFK because JFK was willing to speak to the Russian consulate during the whole Cuban Missile Crisis thing. So he was like, he had little moments in there. So that's why I believe there was a series of convoluted mistakes slash actual, what you'd call a cover-up, but they were very human. So the first cover-up happened because Secret Service was fighting with the local Dallas doctor team, the medical team at the morgue, right, when they were yes. working on his body, that's saying, we're going to take the body directly to Washington, D.C. And the head of the coroner there was like, no, this is a homicide. And it's happened here in Dallas, so this is my jurisdiction. We're going to treat it like any other homicide. And they said, no, you're fucking not. That's the president's body. We're going to do anything that we want with it, which is why they essentially stole the body.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
fighting over it as they were getting it onto the plane. But we now believe, we think that the reason why the cover what happened here is because the Secret Service were just covering their own ass to cover up the biggest workplace accident in American history.
In world history, I would say.
Yeah.
And it was because it would have made America look so foolish. You know, it's because, you know, we're in the Cold War. You know, the Russians are looking for any reason to say, look at how incompetent America is. Look at how awful America is. Come on over to our side. Like, they can't even keep their president alive. It would have looked absolutely fucking terrible for us to, you know, say like, well, yeah, we actually, we killed the president. But if you've got a guy like Lee Harvey Oswald that's connected to the Soviets, then that keeps the Cold War going.
Yes. I also refuse to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was this, because everyone kind of says, oh, look, you see now, like, recent, the new dump of all the JFK documents.
But there's nothing in there.
No, but there's more. The one thing that is in there is more corroboration that Lee Harvey Oswald was pinging these various, like, other communist consulates. Like, he tried to go to see the Russian consulate in Mexico, and then he went to Russia and he went back and forth. And there's a lot of people that put this sinister filter on it, saying, you see here, he might have been a double agent, he was working both sides. But if you then read the reports about Lee Harvey Oswald, they all say the same thing. This guy's a fucking idiot. He's unreliable, and he's showing up drunkenly begging to be a communist and come into Russia. And then Russians are looking at this guy. They put him in a little hotel room to watch him when he first comes because they're like, what is this guy's fucking plan?
Yeah, he seems like he works for our government.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is he doing? It's because what do we know about intelligence services? They famously hire people that are out of pocket. They hire people that have bad reputations so that you automatically mistrust anything coming out of their mouth, no matter what it is. It's all sliding together, the truth and lies.
Now, Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marine, correct?
Yeah.
And was he a great marksman?
It's conflicting results.
It's very conflicting results again and again.
Yeah.
You know, like, where some people say that he was, some people say that he wasn't. You know, it's hard to tell. And it's also the idea of, like, the gun that he used was not, like, a very, you know, it wasn't a solid gun. It was a cheap mail order gun. There's no way that he could have hit it.
It was a hard shot.
It was a very hard shot.
Oh, yeah. But I was just there. It's fucking very hard shot.
Yeah, yeah. You brought your rifle, too. And that was awesome, too.
Yeah.
Like, what we got to
do. Surprised what they let you bring in there.
When we threw the watermelon on the X, and you were just able to just...
pew, pew, pew. I was, first of all, surprised.
Yeah.
And
well, because
all,
it's very interesting because you look at the window where he shot Kennedy from, there is a much better shot when Kennedy's coming up the street right towards the window that he didn't take, and he took the harder shot as he turned and went down the street.
Because he was not a trained assassin.
Yes.
And he was just a man with normal boot camp training that also was not particularly good at that. And when he got shot, I also, one of my big conspiracy theory beliefs is that he was not there to shoot JFK. He was there to kill the governor. And that when he shot, he missed the governor.
And why would he
want
to kill the governor?
Because the governor was, I forgot what it was. He was angry about something. This is all from his journals where he was ranting about the governor. He was ranting about all this shit. But he was like, he kind of did the whole like, and fuck you, JFK, you're cool, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's like this very strange, he pointedly was angry with the governor. But then it depends on whether or not you believe that was placed by CIA.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so here's what I want to do. And honestly, the Secret Service thing makes the most sense to me personally.
That's fun.
Same here.
But there's no way for us to like truly 100% know that's correct.
We'll never know.
Yes. So what I want to do is I want to talk about some other options.
Okay.
Because I was just there. I was, honestly, had a lovely afternoon.
Wasn't it nice?
Yes. And
did you talk to any of the conspiracy theory buskers?
A little bit, but I didn't want to give them money.
And conspiracy theory buskers are my fucking favorite.
Me and Henry did actually give a guy $20 once just to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
And it was all nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all total nonsense, but it was entertaining nonsense.
Oh, very much so. I was I was thankful. It was worth the money.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a visual aid and everything.
Oh, I bet. Visual aids. Yeah. You got to be careful.
Got to wear eyeball condoms.
So, all right. So here's the thing. I'm there. I'm walking around the grassy knoll. I see the corner of the fence and I see the X. I go behind the fence. It's the perfect shot.
Yeah.
It is like the like perfect fucking shot. And we all know he was a very hated man. We know that people claim that shots came from behind the fence, that people ducked because they were fucking heard bullets whizzing by them and shit, according to their testimonies. So who would the other shooters have been?
There's a long list, buddy.
Very long list. Could have been the CIA, could have been the mafia. Those are the two most likely candidates. If you wanted to go, if you wanted to get deep into the conspiracy, if you have to put somebody behind that fence, I would say you'd put the CIA behind the fence.
Because Kennedy had recently fired Dulles.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like what Dulles was doing, and he hired, was the guy's name McCone, I think? Was the head of the CIA that Kennedy hired?
I actually have the four names, right, of the guys that might have been a part of the team.
Okay, great.
Hermenio Diaz Garcia, who was a Cuban exile, right? There's another guy that was shady, didn't know whether or not he worked for the U.S. government or for the Cuban government. John Sultre, who was a French assassin who had apparently also tried to kill President Charles de Gaulle back in France, right? These are part of all. I remember all this from back in the day, all these people.
Yeah, because also remember, our JFK series was what?
2020.
That was episode 400 or 500? It was episode 400.
400. It was I remember going into it February of COVID.
Yeah.
And then Jack Cannon is another guy, and Charles Nicoletti. These are all like shady guys that have all been sort of in and out of the JFK story that have either said that they were there planning to shoot JFK or have been blamed. And a lot of them are just shady, weird, either assets or guys who wanted to be assets that have over time inserted themselves into the story.
Do we know that they were in Dallas?
There's a lot of stuff. Yes, they were essentially. There was a guy named Bill Harvey who worked with Operation Mongoose. There's a CIA dude who was another guy that said he was orchestrating it. He was the one who put the four of those guys in town. And he said that they were, Operation Mongoose was the ongoing CIA attempt to kill Fidel Castro.
Okay.
So this guy was a guy who was in charge of that. He said he was putting the team in place in Dallas and inviting them all through separate means. And one of the big theories is that they were all individually there to kill JFK without knowing it.
Yeah.
That each one was set up to kill him without the other person knowing that they were all working as a team.
Fail safe. You know, it's like if one person doesn't get him, then another person will.
Yeah. It's probably good planning.
Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Now, we know, so if the CIA is involved, we know that George Bush works with the CIA, later became the director in the 70s, and he worked with the CIA. Is there any chance that he was involved?
Well,
Herman Walker, H.W.
Yeah, H.W.
Well, oh, you mean David Copperfield?
Well, there's, I mean, the Bush family has been involved in conspiracies for decades. Like George Prescott Bush.
Yes.
Like, it goes way back to
the Nazis and all that shit.
Yeah, Vanderbilt Bush, the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, or Vandervoort.
Something. He was one of those dudes that was a full on. They built the fucking country.
Yeah. So I would say, I don't think.
Vannevar Bush.
Vannevar, yeah. Yeah, not Vandervoort.
Vandervoort!
I think that was a street in Brooklyn.
I actually do think that was a street in Brooklyn.
But I don't think George H.W. Bush, I think he was more on the outskirts at that point. I don't think he had anything directly to do with it, if there was something to be done.
Well, why would you want your future CIA liaison president to be remotely involved in something like this?
Yeah.
So if you are...
But it's a 13 years down the road. You don't even know that he's going to be the head of the CIA.
If they are thinking long-term like that, that's again... So it's... You have to think about it one way or the other. So it's either... There is a giant conspiracy embedded in the intelligence services and the military, right? So let's say if that is real, then imagine that they have been planning the fallout from this since. Because now you have to look at what are they trying to angle towards? Like, mostly they didn't like that JFK told them no. They don't like that JFK, the intelligence services didn't like that JFK was going to not allow them to do unfettered warfare in Cuba and across the world, no matter what it is that they wanted to do. Right. LBJ seemed, I guess, to be more amenable to that, but he wasn't necessarily like the guy either.
No.
Yeah. Right. So he wasn't real. So he also was trying to get out of Vietnam.
Yeah. LBJ very reluctantly got into Vietnam. That was the last thing LBJ wanted to do. He wanted to focus on the Great Society.
Well, like Kennedy started Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, Kennedy was the one who promised the first people. Yeah. The first troops. But it even went. But there was even stuff involving Eisenhower when it came to Vietnam. But yeah, Kennedy was the one who committed the first people. And LBJ escalated it. And then Nixon escalated it even more. But yeah, LBJ did not want to get into Vietnam. At all.
But you're going this far. So again, let's just say they know they don't want any players to be able to not step into place the second that they can get them properly going. So I don't think anybody that would be able to make those calls would have done it or been involved because they would have been kept separate. Because that's how they work. CIA and NSA work so that the right hand and the left hand don't know what it is that they're doing or what the other one's doing.
And that's also my problem with sending all four of these guys is like fail safes, because with these sorts of operations, like the less people know about it, the better. Like, you don't want a bunch of guys like that are all involved in this massive, gigantic conspiracy. Like, that's part of the reason why like 9/11 conspiracies don't really wash out, is because in order for 9/11 is an inside job, in order for that to happen, it would take thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have all kept quiet to this day.
And guess what people don't do?
Keep quiet.
They just don't. I refuse.
But they disappear.
Well, they do, but still.
But who's doing the disappear? Like, that's the thing. You got to get people to do the disappearing. Yeah. And if you're disappearing thousands of people, then that means that there are thousands more people. Like, it mushrooms out into how many people, like the sort of staff that you would need and the sort of people. And
of blind loyalty.
Blind loyalty.
Blind loyalty to this idea.
Do we have enough of that? I think there's enough Americans that are blind loyal to do crazy shit. I mean, look at the military.
But waivers. Blind loyalty is also, loyalty is a... very funny, where it's like there's something about it, like we all want to bank on this, we think of this, it's actually a very toxic concept. It's kind of like faith, where it's like you want something without evidence, you want prizes without work, you want something without loyalty, believes, oh, these people are going to adhere to me no matter what. But you know what, loyalty's funny. Loyalty shifts, things go back and forth, because loyalty not deserving is something. You could have a bunch of people who at first believe in this idea about JFK being eliminated, want him out of the way, think that the CIA is correct, think NSA is correct, you want him to work, you want to do all this stuff, but then on some level, humans change. Humans, like, and if you have so many people in the mix, there's just not, I cannot believe that there's not one of them that's going to want to spill the beans with the receipts?
Well, I think when you're talking about loyalty in the military, I think if you look at Vietnam, to bring up Vietnam one more time, it's how many guys went into Vietnam fully believing in what they were doing and came out the other end giving Senate testimony? You know,
when you burn a village, your opinion changes.
Yeah, if you kill a bunch of whistleblowers, your opinion might change.
If you're asked to just kill a bunch of people, then your opinion might change. And I think it's the same thing. Like, people do have an upper limit for how much they can handle and how much they can do, you know, and I think that there's just too many people involved, or there would have to be too many people involved for the sorts of conspiracies that, you know, a sort of like JFK, like, you know, get four people in there, you know, this massive government thing, like within the government, too many people involved for it to stay a secret this long.
Yeah. Oswald. So I'm pretty sure we all think that Harvey Oswald was involved.
I think he definitely shot.
He's one of the guys that shot.
He's the one who definitely took the shot, and I think he definitely hit the president.
Yeah. So is he a patsy though?
No, I think that Lee Harvey Oswald was working entirely on his own as an agent of chaos.
What about that weird photograph? The one with him holding the Russian document and the rifle in his backyard where the shadows don't line up. Like, what's the deal? Like, was that faked, or was it? Because they always claimed it was faked.
They had said that it was faked. And I could see it possibly being faked, again, to muddy the waters. Like, if you're going to fake it after the fact, it's really just to put more blame on him and more blame shifted over, because the government is obviously very, if they are covering up a Secret Service fuck up, having to be a lone gunman is what you want. You want it to be the lone gunman. So I could see you pushing some information that way. Mm-hmm. I just think that Lee Harvey Oswald was too much of a talentless fuck up to make history purposefully.
Yeah, and he probably was going to spill some beans.
Yeah.
He was going to spill. Fuck, he already was spilling beans.
Yeah, but then, of course, like Jack Ruby, that's a fascinating side story in itself.
Well, that is my next question, actually. How did Jack Ruby know Oswald? We know he owned a nightclub and he had ties to organized crime.
Yeah.
But how did he know Oswald?
Because
they knew each other personally, right?
Maybe. Conspiracy theory. That's real deep in. About whether or not you believe that they had any sort of run-ins with each other.
Yeah.
It does sort of seem, you could see how a local fat fuck might want to just be a part of the story. Like, again, there's more, I do think there's a lot of that I do wish more.
Was he a showman like that?
Yes. He was a very flashy guy. Yeah. He's a local known entity. He was he thought of himself, but he's like as a mobster kind of guy.
And a patriot.
Yeah, and a patriot. The idea that it's like being like, you're going to come into my town. You're going to come to my town, kill president in my town. I killed presidents in this town.
Yeah.
Well, there's also there's some interesting stuff. I know we're going to get to this subject later, but I don't want to lose this. I learned this recently. There is some weird connections between Jack Ruby and MKUltra.
Yes.
Were you going to bring that up?
MKUltra's next on my list, so let's go for it.
Well, the weird connection between Jack Ruby and MKUltra is that, you know, Jack Ruby was supposedly going to, at one point, like, kind of spill the beans and say, like, okay, here's what I had, like, here was my connection to it. Here's what I was going to, like, he was going to go testify. But right before he was about to testify, he was visited in prison. And I learned this through that book, Operation Chaos, about the Manson family and the possible CIA connections, which is fucking fantastic. It's both fantastic and frustrating all at the same time. But the guy, just before Jack Ruby was about to testify, he was visited by a man named Jolyon West.
Oh, wow.
Who was a massive part of MKUltra. He was the guy that fed all the acid to the elephants. He basically like pumped a bunch of acid in elephants until they shit themselves to death. But he visited Jack Ruby just before Jack Ruby was about to testify. And then all of a sudden, Jack Ruby's lost his mind. Jack Ruby, he does not, like, he was not fit to testify after this visit from Jolyon West, who was a central figure in MKUltra and also had connections to Charles Manson and the clinic that Charles Manson went to in San Francisco before Charles Manson went to Los Angeles, where he did everything that he did.
Can I ask you a question? What do you think it was that he was going to say?
Jack Ruby? Like, I have no idea.
That's a part of me that I want to know. There's a part of me that actually wonders if there's more. Humans don't like an open loop.
Yeah.
An open loop is makes people crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so what they'll do is jam a bunch of stuff in there to make it like, I think that a sinister view on this is a much more comforting view than something kind of dumber mixed with more human.
Yeah.
Where what if Jack Ruby is there to say, I had heard about Lee Harvey. He was like a guy, he was kind of in and around, right? He was kind of a local scummy guy. You know, who knows, he could have come to his establishment a couple times.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
But maybe Jack Ruby was even providing more evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald was a backwards fucking shithead that couldn't fucking nail a tin can from 25 feet away. Maybe there's something like that. I don't know, like, maybe the idea of they all wanted to make sure that nobody talked, about it at all. Because if you look at what Jolyon West did to, I'm looking this up, what he did to Jack Ruby. So he goes into, so Jack Ruby had attempted to commit suicide. He's put back in this room.
Did he have cancer?
Yeah.
Yes. He was like freaking out inside of his jail cell. So they send in old cryptic Dr. West to go talk to Jack Ruby. He comes out saying, Jack Ruby's completely unreliable. He believes that there is a massive Jewish genocide happening. He is, he's in an acute psychotic state. He says all this crazy shit, which we have not heard from Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
We never heard, he didn't talk about this before. We didn't say this was, there was no manifesto. There was nothing like him talking about what he was connected to before. So I actually think that this is definitely some kind of hack job on Jack Ruby, because he might have known, just like he might have just been another person. I mean, like, oh, Lee Harvey Oswald? That's who you think's the master assassin? Mm-hmm. Like, I could definitely see that.
Yeah. Or if you do want to get a little bit deeper into conspiracy theory as far as like covering their tracks, it is also possible that Jack Ruby was hired by intelligence services to take out Lee Harvey Oswald, that Jack Ruby was the real, he was the real patsy, because it might have been possible that they wanted to keep Lee Harvey Oswald from becoming any sort of like communist figurehead.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like that they wanted to keep him from like, you know, talking and, you know, and having
being
a voice. Because people are going to want to hear from him.
Yeah.
He's the guy who killed the fucking president. Everyone's going to want to hear what he has to say. And they might have wanted to just fucking nip that in the bud and close the loop. Wash their hands of the whole thing and say, hey, everybody, let's move on.
And so Jack Ruby, they're saying he had lung cancer that spread to his brain.
Yes.
Oh, it's very possible.
And so that's why he went crazy and had delusions. So we can believe that, or we could say that was made up as well.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Just because he has brain cancer doesn't necessarily mean that everything that he's saying is crazy. But he did have chances to talk, and it was just, he was silenced. And he didn't get the chance. Like, we never really heard the full story from Jack Ruby himself.
And he died within a year, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Do you think that it's possible he knew he had cancer and that's why he committed the assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald?
Maybe.
He knew he was going to die and he's like, fuck it, let's
he
just go
out. He never said anything
it's
about
possible.
That, though. He never,
yeah.
he
but the thing, we just didn't hear much from him.
Yeah. All right. So we, CIA, major contender here on the murder of JFK.
Sure.
If anybody did it, it would have been the CIA.
They definitely wanted to. But I will say they're just not great at doing assassinations.
Yeah. You know, they tried to kill Castro hundreds of times.
And they
didn't
get
him. Yeah. Now, do you think it was possibly Alan Dulles' loyalists? Because Kennedy fired Dulles.
It's possible.
It could be. I think that there were definitely people. I mean, there were many, many people in the CIA that were very unhappy with the direction that Kennedy was taking things and with the power that Kennedy was trying to take away from them. And God, if he would have, the world would be an entirely different place.
Well, wasn't the one person who technically put a leash on the intelligence services Gerald Ford? I believe Gerald Ford was the first one that said, like, you need to report budgets.
Yeah.
You need to actually tell us what you're doing. So up until then, they were given kind of impunity to run. I think that because what we learned from World War II, CIA and the intelligence services and their win with the Manhattan Project gave them sort of a blank check to kind of do whatever they kind of let them do whatever they wanted.
Back when they were the OSS.
Yes. And so now it's killing a president affects their job too. So an assassination is a lot more, like, you could get a lot more done with psychological use of information than with an assassination.
Yeah.
Because if you just shoot a president in the head, unfortunately, like, it will also cascade into a bunch of reactions that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking to control reactions, you have to kind of, with the, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, the idea is you create a problem. The same organization creates the problem that creates the solution so that you can kind of guide the response to both. And so there's, to me, there is, like, they get a lot more leverage if they let some psycho nut communist kill the president, and then they ride that for informational psychological warfare. It's a lot more effective than just straight up shooting him in the head.
And for me, I think to that point, there was mountains of compromise on JFK.
Oh, yeah. He was fucking everybody. He was coming over everything. He was like, they said he'd get his medicine. He was fucking three chicks a day. Like, he had an Epstein penis. Like, yeah. JFK is a nice guy, I guess, but he had an Epstein penis where he had to be milked three or four times a day.
Now, do you think that maybe that's all things to discredit Kennedy and make him look like a bad person?
No.
Because you got the same thing with MLK.
All the women, you know? Well, they're just horny guys.
You think so?
No, that was very true. Yeah. No, because JFK was very much an adulterer, as was MLK.
Like, yeah. He's a horny guy.
Very horny guys.
They're stressed.
Yeah.
They're stressed, Eddie. They're stressed.
Definitely shouldn't be used against them, but that's the thing, is that they did use, like, they did use that shit against MLK.
Of course. And
they could have used that stuff against JFK. Easily. They could easily use that to control him.
But that's the thing. They did do it on an MLK. They definitely already used that stuff. And JFK, I feel like they were holding that in its pocket. At the time, it was really the first time the United States of America, I believe, were like, I think our president's kind of hot and I like it. Yeah. It was like, that was before, like, you remember, that's the first optics president.
Well, it was the first televised debate.
Yeah, the first
him
television
versus, debate. And anyone who saw it said Kennedy won, and anyone who listened said Nixon won.
Exactly.
And then Jackie changed the idea of this idea of pop culture, like a pop culture edge to the popularity of the politician. That was something that never really kind of happened before. I know that, like, technically, I guess, like Elizabeth Roosevelt, people liked her. But it wasn't like
the same. Elizabeth Roosevelt?
What's her name? The other one.
Eleanor.
The other one.
But the thing with Eleanor is Eleanor was like an actual politician who was invaluable to the nation.
Jackie
was just hats. She was beautiful.
But the hats and the fashion are like what we were talking about with Anders Breivik and this kind of shit like that. Fashion and that stuff actually moves way farther than your political actions, especially in the United States of America. But putting a pop culture...
Not with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt was like,
Eleanor Roosevelt was a massive, massive political figure.
But then Jackie showed the power of that other side. And what that adds to your political power.
She did definitely show that. No, Jackie was beloved, you know, with the whole television special where she brought people into the White House. Like, it was a big deal. She definitely
was packing that booty.
Yeah, she was.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah, but she did make JFK far more popular by just her very presence. Whereas, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt could sometimes make FDR less popular because of her more progressive views.
Yes, but also... Man.
Because she was an actual politician.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I love my favorite. I know she's the quote machine, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah. But you never know how a woman's like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until you put it in the hot water. And then she went like, she remember that favorite quote. She's like, get up.
Yeah. My favorite.
Get up. Stand up and just talk to me like a.
My
like
favorite
man.
Eleanor quote is that you can't be intimidated without your own consent.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most beautiful things I love living by.
Live from your grave.
All right. So MK Ultra, we know this is what they train assassins through mind control.
They wanted to.
That's what they wanted to.
Ostensibly. Yeah. That was one of many, 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 many goals for MK Ultra.
So any chance that Sirhan Sirhan, James Earl Ray, Lee Harvey Oswald were victims of MK Ultra?
Sirhan Sirhan.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. You know, it's not victims, right? Now that there's more evidence showing that Charles Manson might have been at one of these testing areas, and then you have Ted Kaczynski, he was a part of some of this shit. It seems that it's not almost there's a there seems to be a lot of coincidence that when you fuck with somebody's brain, right? When you when you drop a bunch of acid into their in their heads and they don't particularly understand that that it is what the, what it is that they're going to be taking, and it's not our fun acid. It's not the stuff we take for fun. It's the it's like an IV.
Yeah,
that shit's fucking real good, dude.
Yeah, it's got to be crazy.
That I think that it it has a tendency to leave behind somebody who is shattered and violent. And I think that it's not so much that MK Ultra caused these things, as that if they were a part of these things, it might not it might make somebody who wants to kill a public figure.
Well, Well, at the end of the day, MK Ultra just didn't work.
No,
okay. So there's no proof that it worked.
It did actually. All the proof is that it didn't work.
That's why they try to cover up.
Yeah, that they just destroyed the lives of thousands upon thousands of people for no good reason, based off of a rumor that came from the Soviet Union that the Soviets were doing the same thing. But MK Ultra, it's the interesting thing about MK Ultra, as far as you know, the sort of people that may have gained access to it, is that you know Henry mentioned Charles Manson, and it's not necessarily that Charles Manson was an MK Ultra experiment so much as Charles Manson may have taken lessons from the MK Ultra experiment that he was a part of and used those same techniques to get people to you know do his bidding, not necessarily to kill for him, because I'm still somewhat on the fence as far as whether or not Charles Manson truly did say, like, okay, like, go out and kill everyone at the Tate House, go out and kill everyone. Because the Manson thing, like, that's still a knot that we're never going to untie completely.
No.
As far as, like, what really happened with Charles Manson.
And he's trying to start a race war, right?
No, that was it. No, absolutely not. That's propaganda from Vince Bugliosi. He wanted something that was a nice, tight story that he could sell in order to get Manson to the gas chamber. That's what he wanted. He wanted to make to tell a story, a very like a crazy story to be sure, but a clean story where he could tell a narrative. But Manson did talk about the race war stuff with his followers, but it wasn't necessarily about starting the race war. There's a bunch of different theories as to exactly why, you know, you had the pig stuff and all that. One of the theories is that it really is like a criminal, you know, it's just a criminal making bad decisions over and over and over again. Yeah. A couple weeks before the Tate murders, that's when Gary Hinman was murdered.
Yeah.
Gary Hinman was a drug dealer that... what's his name? Bobby Boussoulet had kind of had gotten into an argument with. It got into like kind of a disagreement about payment for, I think, speed to some bikers. Anyway, Bobby Boussoulet ended up killing Gary Hinman. And a couple of weeks before that, Manson had shot a drug dealer named, I can't remember, it was like Papa Mooch or something like that.
Yeah, I
forgot
the name of
that dude. Yeah. But like he shot it. This black guy that he assumed was a part of the Black Panthers wasn't. He was just a pimp. Like he was just a black guy. But Manson was deathly afraid of the Black Panthers, and he was also trying at the same time to get Bobby Boussoulet out of prison. That's one of the theories. Because they had written pig at Gary Hinman's house to try to blame that murder on the Black Panthers, because Manson had the Black Panthers. Like, he thought he had the Black Panthers on his ass, but they weren't.
No.
They didn't know who he was at all.
Yep.
And then when Bobby Boussoulet was arrested, I believe, like, the day before the Tate murders, either the day before or a couple of days before, the theory is that Manson told Tex Watson, go get Bobby out of prison. Go do something to get Bobby out of prison. And Tex Watson, in his, you know, fucked up, like, drug-addled brain.
What was the thing he ate?
Nightshade.
Yeah, he ate the whole fruit or whatever. Yeah. It's like a thing that you boil. Like, apparently that was a big thing with Tex Watson, was that they would regularly do hallucinogens. And one
he was a garbage head. He'd take anything.
And they did like a thing, it was something like a peyote style thing where they boiled it. They boil all the hallucinogenic tea out of it, but then he ate the stuff at the bottom of it, and they said he was never the same, that he walked around on his hands and feet for a while, and then he came back, and he literally was just a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, and nightshade was it was like a bad form of acid. I actually found out, we're researching, yeah, I found out the New York Dolls took it for a little while, too.
Oh. There we go.
Angel dust, or like angel trumpets.
But Tex Watson went out, and they just went way, way, way too far, and it's possible that, you know, Manson the next night, God, I can't remember exactly what the narrative was on the criminal stuff, but it's basically, it's making these people complicit as well, making everyone complicit in the murder so they don't snitch on each other. It's like kind of a jail tactic. It's like, because it's I watched it. There was a really good documentary series, I think on like Peacock recently, about Manson, that, because when we did it, we did Manson, and I really want to redo Manson because I've learned so much about it since then.
Please.
We got to, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Give me another shot.
But we kind of looked at it as, you know, from the perspective of like a failed musician, you know, a guy who really just wanted, like, the whole reason why he talked about the race war was because he wanted to convince a bunch of 18-year-old girls to move to Death Valley and ride dune buggies all day because that's what he wanted.
You just wanted to pussy and hang out for the most part, but he was a career criminal.
It's too hot in Death Valley.
Yeah, but he loves it out there. He loved the desert. But he may have used like these MK Ultra techniques to kind of control these people, but things got way out of control. Way, way, way out of control. And there's also a government conspiracy involving Charles Manson that he may have been pushed into it, because it said that the acid that the Manson family had was Orange Sunshine, which was a government made acid.
Yeah, is that real? Real shit.
Yeah, and when he was in San Francisco before they came to Los Angeles, because, you know, the whole Manson thing, it's like a year and a half between him getting out of prison and them killing the Tates. It's like a year and a half.
Okay.
Fucking insane.
That is wild.
But yeah, he shows up on the streets of San Francisco out of prison, and he basically starts gathering followers, starts gathering girls, and he starts becoming a pimp as well, and he starts turning out these girls. All the girls ended up with a venereal disease, so they show up at this free clinic in San Francisco that treats venereal disease. But this free clinic is known to be, it is definitely connected with MK Ultra. Like Jolyon West was there.
Oh yes.
Like they were doing Jolyon West was like doing tests in San Francisco. Charles Manson and Jolyon West were probably, you know, there together. And it's
kissing.
Yeah, kissing. And one of the conspiracy theories is that they use Charles Manson to effectively kill the 60s, to kill the hippie movement, to make it look, that's the whole thing about Operation Chaos. It's like, let's make this thing eat itself from the inside and make it implode, basically.
Because they don't like it when we come together.
Nope.
They didn't like electric guitar.
Nope, they hated electric guitar. But that's one of the. And then after, you know, Charles Manson was basically given these techniques, or he was maybe pushed in the right direction, that's when he went down to Los Angeles and, you know, hooked up with Brian Wilson, and things just worked out the way they worked out. I mean, it is definitely a long road to walk from that San Francisco clinic to, you know, them murdering, you know, five people at the Tate House, or five or six, I can't remember, but to murdering all those people at the Tate House. But there are other really interesting things about it when it comes to the conspiracy, you know, world and Charles Manson, where, you know, Manson was on parole. He wasn't supposed to leave San Francisco. He left San Francisco. He went to Los Angeles, and his parole officer was like,
let him go.
He got arrested multiple times, every time. Let him go. Get him out. Let him go.
He must have been so annoying.
Oh,
that's the thing, though, man. Is that, like, these are the human factors we're talking about. Yeah. He's a fucking pain in the ass, weirdo dude. At the time, he was there for like drugs and pimping.
He's
and
so
stuff.
Tiny, but you look at him, you're like, he's harmless. Who's he gonna hurt?
5'2".
He's crazy.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. But
he was let go again. His people were arrested and let go. It does seem like there was a directive from someone to say, this group of people, leave him be.
Let's see what he does.
But yeah, let's see. Like, for no, like, and no one can, like, and that's the thing about Operation Chaos, what makes it such a fascinating book and such a frustrating book. And the author very much cops to this, is that he just kept running into these dead ends where he would think that he would get on, you know, the right track, and then he just hit a dead end. But there's just like so many questions of like somebody on high, like, and he proved this with paperwork. Somebody from on high did say, leave the Manson family alone. Leave Charles Manson alone. If you arrest him, let him go. Anytime his name came up in the system, it was like, get him out of here. So there was somebody that had a vested in the government that had a vested interest in what Charles Manson was doing.
We also now know for a fact the CIA definitely was plugged into the Laurel Canyon scene, was plugged into all these different areas, right? They definitely were. So then you partially kind of wonder, was every member of the Manson family a genuine member of the Manson family? Was anybody remembered? Like, that's where a conspiracy theory could maybe come out. Maybe part of the reason why he's saying leave them alone is because they're dead in the center of a bunch of, essentially, an intelligence op that they don't understand that they're in the center of.
Was there anyone that didn't go to prison?
Well, there was it Sandra Good, I believe?
But also, people come in and out.
There was one that turned state. The one who told the whole Helter Skelter story, I think she may have gone free. I think there was one of them that definitely, but that's the whole thing, is like the Helter Skelter story. Like, there's a whole part in the book where it kind of talks about how the Helter Skelter story was created, where when she was first arrested, she wasn't talking about it at all.
No.
And then, as time went on, the Helter Skelter story sort of became something that was, it got put at the forefront of everything, when in fact it was just something, it was just another crazy thing that Charles Manson was talking about to try to get people to do what he wanted them to do. It was a control thing. It wasn't about starting a race war at all.
And now the CIA and the U.S. government doesn't need to do big ham-fisted, we're going to dump acid into the water, we're going to do all these things to kind of fuck with people, because now they have the total complete control of the flow of information.
Yes.
So now they can really fuck with us. And with, I think that that's kind of one of those things that I'm trying to explain more to people, is that they don't need an MK Ultra 2 to fuck with us. We are fucking with ourselves. Look at us reacting to the, you know, however you feel, like the idea that we had an objective reality 5 years ago. We have a novel virus that is fucking with society, and no one's happy about it. No one likes it. And look at how we reacted to it. They don't need to fuck with us from within. Human beings' natural paranoia and lack of media literacy alone is enough to manipulate millions of people.
Oh no, they use the stuff that's been coming up about Facebook, like especially like recently with the release of that whistleblower's book, you know, the stuff that comes about how closely the Trump administration worked with Facebook to micro-target people, to micro-target like certain demographics, like the people who are now at the right hand of power, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, like that, those are the true conspiracies. That's the true stuff that is being used by the people in power to control us. That is how they finally figured it out, and they're really and the thing is,
the wrong guy read Snow Crash a long time ago is what we're seeing.
The thing is that they are so incredibly good at that. And as far as governments go, like when you look at the United States government, and when you also look at the Soviet government, or not Soviet, the Russian government and the Soviets back in the day, is that what, as far as conspiracies go, these people are masters at manipulating humans and masters at manipulate, like they understand human nature and they understand how to manipulate us to get what they want. But when it comes to getting humans to actually do things, and when it comes to like putting them together in these like massive operations, that I don't think they're anywhere near as good at. Like, I really don't. But they are very good at whipping us up. And they're really, because if you look again and again throughout history, when you look at people that are able to whip up big segments of the population, like they get into power, they get into control, but it always, to a fucking letter, ends in absolute and utter complete chaos.
Yeah.
Every single time it ends in chaos, and it ends in death, and it ends in massive disasters and massive destruction. For the, like, we saw it happen again and again throughout the 20th century. It happens that they know how to whip us up, they know how to manipulate us, but when it comes to actual plans, no. They do not have that under control.
I was reading a really interesting book about how the part of the reason why I think they can't directly control who we are is because we have this thing called consciousness. So consciousness, they don't really know. The question always is, where does consciousness come from? What, you know, but it's never been, the real question is, what is consciousness good for? Why is it an evolutionary part of what humans have? Why was it, what was it a thing about it that made us superior to the other animals in order to do this? And that's why consciousness, because there's one side, it's like, we view it as a great gift. But what if actually, it was actually a massive problem.
Human consciousness was a mistake.
It was. It was. And maybe that problem is that I, that personality, that thing that what we call the, you know, and when you do mindfulness, they talk about the observer, right? So you, when you go away into mindfulness, when you go away into a meditative state, there is a, when you're deep, deep into it, the idea is that you're trying to get to this idea that you're looking at the observer of your own mind, which is there is a, that voice, the thing that talks about the thing that makes you Eddie, are the things that that kind of makes us what you are. But they also deeply fucks up actually good decision making.
Yeah.
Like consciousness is actually a massive hurdle. It's a huge energy suck for our bodies, and it really fucks up a quote unquote, what's the best way to make a best decision? Like if you look at how our consciousness acts unconsciously, like, you know, the idea that your brain is making the move the half a second before your arm moves. Your brain knows it's making a decision. These are the types of things that make human beings' behavior extremely unpredictable. And at the very bottom of that, is why the concept of a giant overarching conspiracy controlling human behavior will never shake out. Because humans are, you can throw game theory, they try to do every time, and they're always like, huh, but they, you never really expect it. But, you know, like, look at all the people polling, all the politicians polling all this shit. Humans just make decisions in the moment.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, it's like people are predictable. A person is unpredictable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, as a whole, people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, with consciousness and all that, I mean, like, consciousness changes with a brain injury.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like your personality can be one thing, and then, like, you get zapped or you fucking get hit by a car and you're a different human being for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah man.
You know, and
buddy.
And so that's what, you know, MK Ultra was probably going for. Now, I wanted to go back for 2 seconds. I know we're getting down to the wire here, but now I would, you know, because the 60s are the most interesting part to me.
Of course.
I think they're so crazy. Everyone always talks about how, like, this is the worst time in history. It's like, the 60s were pretty fucking bad.
They were crazy. They were just very crazy.
They were nuts. I learned a term today that I'd never heard before. It's called the cool zone.
Yeah.
Where it's you're living through a period of history that's very cool to read about in the future, but at the time it really sucks.
Yes.
And then we are at this moment, like, we're edging closer and closer towards the cool zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Now, how it's Sir Ian Sirian, James Earl Ray, you know, obviously, you know, huge figures in changing history.
Yeah.
How certain are we that they worked alone?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, James Earl Ray, I would say probably.
He says he didn't, but, you know, how are you supposed to believe anything he says?
Yeah.
You know, you can't. Yeah.
I mean, you know, killing Martin Luther King Jr. at the time, again, I don't think it's as I just don't think it's as effective as people think it is.
Yeah, and it's not like with Kennedy, there's not like a magic bullet. There's nothing, you know, there's no crazy things like that. It's pretty cut and dry.
Yes, he had a target on his back and they went for it. And when you kill those, but also what the CIA knows and stuff is a lot of times if you kill those guys, look at what happened. Mm-hmm. Their movement blows up, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's like, there's way more nefarious, more capable things than assassination.
Yeah. All I know is that if RFK wouldn't have been killed, I don't know if we would be arguing over whether or not autistic people are persons right now.
Yes,
like
that's
we might
for damn
like
sure.
Things might have been different. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, they changed. They definitely changed it. But again, it's coming against the, which is the. It's another example of. So you're big. The new government's conspiracy theory is that the weakest members of our society are the ones fucking it up.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. The idea that trans people and people with autism are the problem, which is literally they are fucked.
Yeah.
They're
notoriously
fucked.
Peaceful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. It's more just they're fucked.
Well, that's the fascist playbook.
Yes.
And it's been like that for forever. It's like it goes all the way back, you know, to blaming Jewish people for conspiracies is that they're at the same time the most cunning, evil, you know, brilliant people in existence, and they're also, you know, subhuman dogs that, you know, can't get anything right or are ruining the entire planet. Like,
yeah.
That's always the fascist playbook, the doublethink. Like, that, and it's the exact same shit that we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad that we can tell our employees with autism they don't have to pay taxes.
All right.
Does that mean we don't have to pay them? As well, do we have to pay taxes as well on that?
Yeah, we got to pay it.
Yeah. All right, last one. I just need to, if it's too big, we could just tell me to go fuck myself, you know, but Marilyn Monroe, killed by the government?
Eh.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think it's just a straight up drug overdose?
I think so.
That she was killed by the government and the fact that she fucked the United States, the president of the United States of America, and it did ruin her life.
Yeah.
I think that that's what you could mean by killed the government. Killed by the government. I don't think that they needed to whack her to ruin her life.
Yeah.
And I think that being involved with the Kennedys automatically ruined her life. I think that everything that was attached to them became poisonous. Everything changed. They used her.
Yeah.
She was an innocent woman that was attracted to these people. But I mean,
I never agree with, like, we shouldn't infantilize Marilyn Monroe.
No.
Marilyn Monroe was a brilliant woman.
She's a genius.
She was a great actress. She was able to manipulate pretty much all of men.
I think Marilyn Monroe was an extremely she's a misunderstood person, she was not manipulative at all. Like, she just didn't know what to do with herself. She was so smart, and she was she's intense and beautiful and emotional, but she was attracted to a type.
Powerful.
And yeah. So those were types, and she had access to that. And so she got access to it, and I just think we put a lot of stank on this idea that these people need to be assassinated, when it's like, I think they knew that she was cruising for a bruising anyway, and if she needed to, if she was going to spill the beans, she was going to be dead one way or another. I think that she legitimately was just really saddened by the shakeout of everything and committed suicide.
Any legitimacy to the theory that she was pregnant with JFK or RFK's child?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think most, at the end of the day, like, most conspiracies are there because we don't like the reality. Like, we don't like the reality of what happened. Like, we don't like the reality that, like, this woman who supposedly had it all could still be, you know,
sad enough to kill themselves.
Yeah, it's sad enough to, die by suicide. It's like, those are the realities we don't like to think about. We don't like to think that one, you know, crazy fucker, you know, one asshole, you know, with a vendetta, or one asshole who wants to be famous, can change the course of American history. And we definitely don't like to think that it can be changed even further by complete and total happenstance. We don't like to think that there was, you know, a group of people in a cave in Afghanistan that could bring America to its knees.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so incredibly easily. Like, we don't like to think about these things because it makes the world such a scarier place. It makes it scary to live in. It makes it scarier to live in our own heads. You know, like, if you think that, you know, Marilyn Monroe, like, if you think, like, well, if that woman can't, if she can't survive this life, how the fuck can I? You know, like, if you think, like, that, you know, these people in, you know, in Afghanistan can bring the entire government, and honestly, they won. I mean, they did it.
They did exactly what they wanted to do.
Every single fucking goal that they had.
Yeah, they destroyed American supremacy across the world. They did everything that they were supposed to. We fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, God,
as
it happened, I was like, this was done. This could have been done by five people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's one of those things.
Again, just, it doesn't, that's why, like, on one hand, yes, a conspiracy does take a lot of people, but, you know, think about it in the 9/11 conspiracy, they're all dead. Yeah, well, so everybody that was involved on that side of it, in terms of the people that might could have talked about who would have paid for it, they're all fucking dead. We've never seen Osama bin Laden's body. Yeah. We don't know any of this type of shit. So it's like, there was
a couple of guys. We had like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Like, yeah. You know, like we did. There were definitely guys that we got.
Yeah.
That we took alive.
But I'm just saying
that involved. This is the next episode. 9/11's our next conspiracy episode.
Yay! Let's do it in September.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, it's actually perfect for when we go on break.
Yep.
All right. So next time, 9/11. After that, COVID.
Great.
Yay! Perfect.
Yay! Can we talk about it soon?
Yes. You know, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're about there.
We're really getting there.
I'm ready to talk about it.
We've got our personal experiences.
Oh, yeah. I'm honestly, I am getting ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, guys. Well, thank you so much for talking to me about these things. It's good to really like bounce the ideas off. I still think our theory about the workplace accident holds the most water.
It does.
I just think to me, it's so funny because everybody thinks that the other way. Like, I think it's so interesting.
So much more interesting. Yeah, and it's the one that has actually the most evidence behind it. There's a ton of evidence behind it. I mean, I know there's some people that say that there's some contradictory evidence, but yeah, there's contradictory evidence for everything. And this is the one for me that makes the most sense. It makes more sense than Lee Harvey Oswald. Like, that's the thing. Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone makes more sense than the CIA killing him, but the Secret Service agent accidentally shooting JFK in the back of the head makes more sense than Lee Harvey Oswald getting both shots off.
Yeah. Yes. Three shots, right? Total?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bitecatering.net also has a slider bar option.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at this. It's in the LA area, so maybe
Jesus, you need I'll make you sliders.
I'm just all right. Thinking about sliders.
If you would have came to Easter, I had ham sliders for everybody.
I was asleep.
Yeah, you fucked up. I fucked up. You could have had ham and cheese with mustard sliders yesterday, but you chose to stay home.
You know what's weird? I say that on ham and cheese, that to me is just a little sandwich. It's not a slider.
When you put it on a slider bun.
But I feel a slider is different than a little sandwich.
Yeah, I agree with Henry here. That's a little sandwich.
Wow.
I think
he never does that.
Fucking fools.
No, I think that a slider
I don't believe the whole episode now.
Well, hell Satan, everybody. Thank you for being here.
And I know I definitely said some shit that was wrong. I definitely said some shit that was wrong here and there. But it's conspiracy. But yeah, you know, it's just we're having fun here.
Go check out Green Dot Stables in the Detroit area. It's one of my favorite slider restaurants I've ever been to. I love that place. God, that fish fry sandwich is so fucking good. I'm still thinking about it.
And thanks to everyone out in Detroit who came out to our show. It was such a fun fucking time. I love Detroit so much.
Yeah.
Best record stores in the country. The Motown Museum was a fucking blast.
We
love Detroit so much.
Just
we love
unbelievable.
You. We know you're pulling yourself up from the bootstraps, and we're here to fucking support you, Detroit. We love you.
It's going to be a great city in like 5 to 10. It's a great city now, but it's going to be like a truly like great like current like mecca in America.
Utterly,
in like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Utterly love Detroit. Oh, and it was just wonderful to be there, and I just thank God we get to do shows there.
Free the RoboCop statue. I'm sick of this shit.
Let's see it!
And if you want to see video episodes of this show or watch Last Stream on the Left live, go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft to become a member. Check out all of our socials at LP on the Left on TikTok and Instagram. And don't forget to come out to all the other shows we got going on this year. Go to lastpodcastontheleft.com for all the dates, but Ed's going to tell you about a couple of them.
That's right. Well, currently, this is Friday. I'm in Key West. Okay, fucking get your ass to my show. If there's happenstance that you are in Key West, I am there Friday, Saturday, Sunday doing badass shows at Comedy Key West. Come check it out. But next month, oh my God, we are booked for the rest of the year.
We are.
All right. June 28th, Atlanta, Georgia, the Coca-Cola Roxy. July 12th, Salt Lake City, Sandy Amphitheater. August 8th, Charlotte, North Carolina, the Night Theater. August 9th, Durham, North Carolina, the Carolina Theater. September 20th, St. Paul, Minnesota, the Palace Theater. October 11th, Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. October 25th, Oakland, California, the Fox Theater. November 29th, Cleveland, Ohio, the Masonic Temple. December 12th and 13th, we're in Portland, Oregon at Revolution Hall. It is going to be amazing.
We cannot win.
Also, we got side story shows attached to Atlanta at Dad's Garage on June 29th. And then, of course, Henry and I, the beautiful Crime Wave at Sea.
Go and see it. crimewaveatsea.com/last That's We're right. going to have so much fun. You're going to die out there.
That's right. So come on a cruise. Henry and I are doing side stories. Three nights of shows. It's going to be a blast. So come check it out. And we love you guys.
All right, you fuckers. Hail, sweet Satan.
Oh, Hakeem.
Hail, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. I love her.
Yeah, go watch, go watch some Like It Hot.
Yeah. And my week with Marilyn was a really good movie. I don't know if you guys checked it out.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was very good.
Oh, well.